Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
At the present time, I shall present a few accounts with reference to Hadhrat Muslih Ma'ud. May Allah be pleased with him. Each one is unique and carries an advice and moral within it. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, has also related some of these incidents with reference to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The first instance is in regards to tabligh, propagating the faith, wherein after the partition, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, sent a message addressing the Jamaat, the community in Qadian, at the occasion of their Jalsa Salana, their annual convention, drawing their attention towards this. He said that their task is to do tabligh, to propagate the religion. And he said a lot of effort is required in regards to this. There is no doubt that God Almighty revealed to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that I shall cause thy message to reach the corners of the earth. And God Almighty also revealed to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, God Almighty will maintain your name and honor till the day when the world comes to an end, and he will convey your message to the ends of the earth. Indeed, God Almighty Himself promised the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that his message would spread. His invitation and his name would also spread to the corners of the world and the earth. No doubt, He has made this promise, and God the Almighty continues to fulfill this task according to his promise and will, and he will continue to do so, inshallah, God willing. However, alongside this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also drawn the attention of the members of the Jamaat towards tabligh, towards propagating the religion. He has told them to acquire knowledge from his books, carry out the works of tabligh, of propagating the religion, just as the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did tabligh. Nonetheless, one has to make every effort in order to partake from God Almighty's promise. Indeed, God Almighty Himself has told us of these promises. However, in order for them to be fulfilled, God Almighty has placed the responsibility also upon those who have made a pledge of allegiance to the Prophet to play an active role and become the recipients of God Almighty's blessings. When this happens, then God Almighty, in accordance with His promises, grants countless blessings to their efforts and creates new means. We have witnessed for ourselves how God Almighty has created new ways for tabligh. Nonetheless, I shall read out that part of Hazrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him's message, which was about tabligh, about propagating the religion. Despite the fact that so few Ahmadis were left behind in Qadian, and there were very limited means available, Hazrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, drew their attention towards this important task. He also gave them courage and support, and gave the example from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's early period, in order to encourage and motivate them. Addressing them, he said, "There is no doubt that here in Qadian, you are only 313 in number. However, you must still recall the time when the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, started his divine mission, that there were only two or three Ahmadis in Qadian. Surely, 300 individuals are greater than three individuals. And at the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's claim, Qadian had a total population of 1100. Therefore, as a ratio, it works out to be 1 to 366. In other words, for every one Ahmadi, there were 366 non-Ahmadis. If at this moment in time, Qadian's population, that is when Hazrat Muslih Maud was delivering this message, if at this moment in time Qadian's population is said to be 12,000, then according to the current population of Ahmadis, it works out to be 1 to 36. That is one Ahmadi for every 36. And before it used to be one Ahmadi for every 366. So while addressing the people of Qadian, Hazrat Muslih Maud continues, "In other words, your strength is 10 times greater than that time when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, started his mission. Moreover, at that time, when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, started his mission, there was no Ahmadiyya Jamaat outside of Qadian. But at present, the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, the community, is established in numerous places in India. Now it is your duty to activate and organize these communities and to build them with a new spirit and to bring together their strengths so that they are able to spread the message of Islam and Ahmadiyya to all parts of India. Perhaps this is also the same ratio of Qadian's population today. If Ahmadis have grown in numbers, then so too have the non-Ahmadis. In fact, now there are a lot more improved facilities, and by the grace of God the Almighty, we have a lot more means. And by the grace of God the Almighty, the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community in India, is being introduced through various means. However, the missionaries and the life devotees, the Waqfeen and Zindagis, need to increase their efforts on an individual level as well. We are physically persecuted and face opposition. But despite this, we must still seek to progress in our efforts for tabligh, propagating the religion, using wisdom, God willing, inshallah. The other countries of the world should also keep in view that God Almighty has enjoined us to carry out and widen the scope of the work of tabligh, of propagating the religion. This is also an injunction of the Holy Quran, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also counseled the same, as did the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we also need to have strong planning for this in every country, so that this task of tabligh, propagating their religion can be further expanded. Alongside the tabligh, propagating the religion, another important task is to look after those who take the bayat, the pledge of allegiance, and join Ahmadiyyat. In some places, although the tabligh, propagating the religion, happens, and people also join the Jamaat, however, they are not properly taken care of, and in this way, many who join eventually drift away. In India, the majority of those who accept Ahmadiyyat are poor and belong to villages. Therefore, in the face of onslaughts from the opponents, out of fear, some of those who are frail in faith display weakness. By the grace of God the Almighty, our administration there and those who help organize and plan the tabligh work are doing very well in this regard. Apart from the Nazarat, Islah or Irshad, there is also the Department of Nurul Islam, which is doing tabligh through various means, such as by telephone and through various newspapers. Similarly, there is a tabligh department under the Waqf-e Jadid. And the work of tabligh is also being done through that. However, these departments should also go there to those areas where opponents try and cause trouble to those who have recently done the bayat, taken the pledge of allegiance, and they should comfort those new Ahmadis and give them courage and reassurance. Whenever they receive the news of any kind of trouble, the regional and central representatives should go there immediately, even if it is a small village. Similarly, those in Africa and its missionaries should also make an effort in improving their contacts, and they should make better plans in order to be aware of the circumstances of the local people. As I mentioned in my dars, or perhaps in my khutbah, my sermon, that there too the opponents of Ahmadiyyat are very quick in trying to turn them away from Ahmadiyyat. Thus, this is a task to be done especially in those areas where a lot of bayats are taking place, and in the developing countries. Hazrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, relates an incident which is regarding Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib, who had performed the bayat, the pledge of allegiance, at the hands of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, but later became embroiled in the unrest that occurred during the election of the second Khalifa, and he was among the leading figures of those who refused to take the bayat. In any case, he desired for leadership, which he was able to get from joining them. However, regarding how he improved his knowledge and the secret behind the success of his lectures and speeches, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, may Allah be pleased with him, states the following. The biggest reason behind Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib's success was that he would prepare a lecture after reading a book of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, peace be upon him. He would come to Qadian, and he would ask questions to Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First, may Allah be pleased with him. And he would ask questions to others, and this is how he completed his lecture. He would then visit areas of India delivering his lecture, and he was highly successful. Hazrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, further states, if one was to prepare 12 lectures, one would gain extraordinary recognition. Khwaja Sahib had only prepared 7 lectures and he had to go to England, but from just those 7 lectures, he had gained a lot of recognition. Hazrat Muslih Maud states, I believe that even if only one lecture is prepared in this way, Since one is able to remember it thoroughly, it will have a profound effect on people. Therefore, the first thing is that it is necessary to read and understand the books of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, through which one can prepare lectures. While elaborating on this, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that in the olden days, there used to be a separate teacher for syntax or grammar and conjugation grammar for fully baked or for half-baked bread. Now the time has come again in which science has made much progress. The era for specialization has commenced. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that this is how it should be, that essays should be prepared and handed over to the lecturers who should go out and deliver them. As a result of this, speeches will be prepared in accordance to the objective of the Jamaat, and we will know what they will say from here remotely. These lectures will be the main lectures. Other than this, the lecturers can speak on some other topic as supplemental lectures on the local level. Hence, this is a guiding principle for missionaries, for those people who propagate the message of Allah, the Da'in in Allah, and those who attend academic conferences and seminars. If a lecture is prepared in this manner, then senior professors and some of the so-called religious scholars and some people who criticize religion are also inspired. There was a program held here a few days ago, perhaps under the Department of Tabligh. A prominent Jewish professor from Israel, who has penned numerous books, also attended this event. A young missionary of our Jamaat, of our community, delivered a lecture in this program after good preparation. The professor was very impressed by this. During the program, the professor very cleverly said some positive things about Islam and Khilafat, but he also said some things against Islam. Our young missionary replied to this in a very good manner. The professor later came to meet me here, and he said that the missionary and speaker of yours was very clever. In reality, such people who attack Islam refute the arguments of non-Ahmadi scholars after using certain arguments, or the non-Ahmadi scholars do not even have those arguments in the first place. However, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, has the knowledge and argumentation given by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that anyone can be silenced if the preparation is good. No one can stand in front of that. Hence, it is integral for us to study the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, so that our religious knowledge can increase, and at the same time our spirituality progresses through these books. While mentioning the immense passion to do tabligh in people from the past, at one place Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that when I was young, I got together with some of my childhood friends and created a society, and we started a magazine called Tashhizul Azhan. Then he says that Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal was also one of my friends in that time. He was later appointed as a missionary in the United Kingdom and lived here. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says his daughter was married to Chaudhry Abdullah Khan Sahib, who was the younger brother of Chaudhry Zarfullah Khan Sahib. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that once the wife of Chaudhry Abdullah Khan Sahib said to me, "When you appointed my father as Nazre Allah," for he was at one time appointed Nazre Allah of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. So she said, "When you appointed my father as Nazre Allah, he used to regret a lot at home that I had devoted my life to do propagation, and he has appointed me to sit on chairs." On the other hand, I see that there are also such people who write to me that there should be some regard for the life devotees, for the Waqfeen-e-Zindagi. Therefore, we learn from this that the people of the old times had such passion to do tabligh, and they gave preference to do propagation over getting appointed in offices. Other than that, it should be remembered that missionaries and those who do propagation of the tabligh are not viewed as they should be viewed. That is, members of the Jamaat of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community do not care properly for their missionaries and value them as they should. And even now, complaints are often received from some places regarding this matter. However, I will say this alongside that there is a responsibility upon the missionaries and muballighin that they too should strive to obtain a higher status in knowledge and spirituality in order to maintain their dignity within their jamaats, within their communities. Then no member of the jamaat can ever have the courage to say anything negative about them. In some places, certain people in the administration say negative things about missionaries. They start talking against the missionary wherever he tries to bring about reform. Then, what is the secret of acceptance of prayers? And what is the wisdom behind this? Regarding this, Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, says the following. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came to show such signs, and his objective was to produce such people that through their prayers Allah the Almighty would cause great revolutions in the world. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, this means that the world cannot achieve what can be done through one prayer. However, this does not mean that Allah the Almighty unquestionably accepts every prayer. The son of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Sahibzada Mubarak Ahmed Sahib, and Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib passed away. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, prayed for them, but they still passed away. And this is also one of his signs, because he had stated beforehand about Mirza Mubarak Ahmed Sahib, and if something is stated beforehand, it becomes a sign. Therefore, it does not happen that every prayer is neither accepted nor rejected. Indeed, if Allah the Almighty decides to accept a prayer, then no one can reject it. Then, while mentioning acceptance of prayers and responding to allegations from the Pighamis, the Lahoris, that whether the signs regarding Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, were fulfilled. Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud says, the continuation of the blessings of Allah the Almighty, which were bestowed through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is integral. Indeed, it is the right of the Pighami, the group, to say to me that those blessings cannot continue through you. That is, they can say this about Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, that this cannot initiate through me. However, it is essential that they present their imam or leader and say that those blessings are manifested through this person. And if it really happens that God the Almighty discloses news about the future events through this person, and he listens to his prayers exceptionally, then we will accept that although we were wrong, The truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is evident. Addressing the Lahori community, he says, "Do not raise objections that raise doubts about the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. On the one hand, you believe that Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah. Regardless of the fact that you believe him as a reformer, that is, the Lahori community, you believe that he was truthful and his prayers were accepted and he made prophecies as well. So the first thing is that Hadhrat Muslihimaut said, if you do not want to accept what I am saying, then don't. However, first of all, present an imam or a leader in front of me and then prove that his prayers are being accepted. If his prayers are accepted, then we will have no objections in accepting that, all right. We were wrong. However, if you say that the signs are not being fulfilled, then you are raising this objection on the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him." Hazrat Muslihimaut has stated, "But the state of the people is such that they close themselves off from listening to anything, and they do not wish to hear a thing, nor do they want to do anything wisely." Hazrat Muslihimaut, may Allah be pleased with him, has also mentioned other smaller incidents and instances with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. One such incident was the example of a hunchback. Hazrat Muslihimaut states that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, often narrated the example of a hunchback. She had a hump on her back. Someone asked her whether she wished her back to be straightened or if she wished everyone else to become hunchbacked. It is the nature of some that they are very stubborn and jealous. So in a similar manner, she replied, "I have had a hump on my back for years, and people have mocked and laughed at me. It is not possible for my hump to be straightened now that I have reached old age. I would only enjoy it if everyone had a hump on their back, so I may laugh at them till my heart's content." Similarly, there are many who have this type of jealous and bitter nature. They do not care for the pain to be taken away. Instead, they desire for others to suffer. Therefore, every single one of us should pray to be saved from such resentful people. At the same time, we must pray that we do not become like those jealous individuals who are engrossed and embroiled in such actions. Then there was an old tale of a blind man. Hazrat Muslihimaut states that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, narrated that there once was a blind man. At night he was speaking with someone, which disturbed the sleep of another person. He exclaimed, "Hafiz Sahib, please go to sleep." Hafiz Sahib exclaimed, "What is sleep to us? The equivalent of remaining silent." What he meant by this was that one sleeps by closing his eyes and staying silent. So he says that my eyes are already shut. Now the only thing left is to stay quiet and nothing more. Therefore, I might as well do that then. Hazrat Muslihimaut states that the pain a mu'min, a true believer, undergoes is not a source of discomfort, because he claims that he is already used to such situations. Just as the world wishes to destroy a mu'min, a believer, he replies by saying, "What will you achieve by destroying me? For I have already finished myself for God Almighty, and I am prepared for anything that God desires from me. I would sacrifice my life for him." Hazrat Muslihimaut adds that the world is petrified of death. However, when the world wishes to destroy a believer, he is not afraid at all, but instead remarks that, "I died the day I accepted Islam. The only difference was that before I was a walking corpse. Now if you bury me beneath the earth, it would hardly matter to me." This is the stance of a true mu'min, a true believer. Hazrat Muslihimaut mentioned another example that the promised Messiah would often narrate. A miserly woman once attended a wedding. She was very stingy, but her brother's wife, her sister-in-law, was very open-hearted. Both the sister and the sister-in-law attended the wedding. The sister was stingy, whilst the sister-in-law was open-hearted in the sense that she would give presents. The sister gave 1 rupee as a gift, while the sister-in-law gave away 20. When they returned from the wedding, someone inquired from the miserly woman how much she had spent for the wedding. She replied that, "Me and my sister-in-law gave 21 rupees." So some people apply this example on their chanda, the obligatory financial sacrifice. As explained by Hazrat Musleh Imam, that there are some individuals in certain jamaats who make great financial contributions. For the jamaat to attribute their chanda, their financial sacrifice, towards itself is the same as the miserly woman saying that she and the sister-in-law gave 21 rupees. On the other hand, there are also some affluent people who are stingy and attribute jamaat's chanda towards themselves. These sorts of examples are also witnessed. If they do not attribute it towards themselves, they express it in a manner whereby they say, "Our jamaat gave such an amount and I gave the most amount of chanda." However, the majority of the amount is given by those who are poor, those who give more than those well-off and rich. On one occasion, during a sporting event, certain wrong incidents took place in which the matters of religion were not upheld, and the traditions of the Jamaat of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community were not considered. Whilst warning those involved, Hazrat Musleh Maud stated, "Look, laughing and joking are permissible and are not forbidden. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would laugh and joke, as would the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We also joke from time to time. I do not deny that we laugh and joke. We joke around 100 times, but we do so with our children, our wives, and those close to us. But we do not do so in a way which degrades and humiliates someone to the extent which destroys the other's self-respect. In this case, such a joke is not appropriate. If we utter something which has a connotation of humiliation, then we seek forgiveness. And this should be the practice of everyone who makes this mistake. If someone jokes in a way which is disliked by another, or he deems the self-respect of the other suffers, and they have committed a mistake, then forgiveness should be sought." In reference to the sporting event, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, "Whilst the games were being conducted, an incident took place. He further states, 'I am not against sports and games. Laughing and playing around is permitted. I have never forbidden it. Indeed, you should have fun and enjoy it. But,' in the Persian proverb, which means, 'sports are good if they are played appropriately. But if one plays with their father's beard, that is, disrespects their father, then this is not permissible. It is forbidden to play with the honor of one's father. Give God his due status. Give football or soccer the status it deserves. Give mushaira, the session of poetry, the status it deserves. And give prophecies the reverence the prophecies deserve." Some individuals said some phrases in a manner which prophecies were uttered in a humorous way. Hazrat Musleh Maud said that if you wish to indulge in mockery, then you should go to Lahore and take part in the Mushaira, the session of poetry. There, poets mock each other at times. So go and fulfill your desire and take part in the Mushaira, the session of poetry. If you wish to indulge in unnecessary acts or wish to take part in sports, then go to another city and take part. If you do this there, Hazrat Musleh Maud was advising especially those who reside in Qadian in Rabbah, or wherever there is any Jamaat sporting event organized by the center, this advice is for them. That if you conduct yourselves in this manner, people will say that the people of Lahore did such a thing. They will not say that Ahmadis have done this. However, if you do even a tenth of that here, people will say, "Ahmadis have done such a thing." Thus, I do not prevent you from enjoying yourselves. All I say is that whilst playing sports, do not exceed all bounds to the extent that the name of the Jamaat is brought into disrepute. All over the world, sporting functions are organized by the Jamaat. It is not just to do with Qadian or Rabwa. If such incidents occur at these events, then the name of the Jamaat will be dishonored. For this reason, these aspects should be taken into consideration universally. Thus, in every action we do, whether it is fun and leisure, enjoyments or the mushaira, the sessions of poetry, we should ensure the dignity and honor of the Jamaat should never suffer. We should always be conscious of its honor and dignity. Thus, these were the lessons to be drawn from the few things and advices I mentioned. We should always be aware of these things.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرِ